With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here for another round of Dancing with the Stars. I am joined, as always, by my lovely co-host, Kelly. And this week, we have a very special guest. Lita is here as well. Hi, ladies. How are you?
I'm good.
Hello.
Tired from that, like, marathon episode last night.
Yeah, no, it was a hoot, but it was a very, very long, long night. And we also had one on Monday. So I am excited to break it all down with you guys. But I would like to just sort of get hot takes from both of you before we jump into things. So, Kelly, what are your hot takes from the whole thing? I mean, are you upset? Are you happy? Are you sad?
I mean, I think that there is always going to be a part of us that thinks it should have been Normani, or not necessarily thinks, but like knows it should have been Normani to win this season. All through the finale, in both episodes, she was talked about as potentially one of the best dancers they've ever had on the show. We've been rooting for her since day one. Like, she's the queen of the season. She probably, in a fair world, should have won. That said, I'm so excited for Emma. I love Rashad.
Yeah,
and
for
we
sure.
came so close to a David win. Like, I was very convinced. The whole finale, I was so going, David's going to win. Absolutely. Doesn't matter. This is all smoke-filled coffee house crap. None of it matters. David's going to win, and that's horrible. So I am so relieved to see Rashad.
Also, spoiler
win.
Alert, everyone. Rashad won.
Sorry. That's what the hot takes are, right? Isn't like, what could
yeah,
you be
that's
asking
what the
me
hot takes are. So. Yeah, so sorry, this is our first time doing a three-person podcast, so welcome to the party, listeners. here we are. We're joined, obviously, by our lovely third party, Lita. Lita filled in for me a few weeks back, but so she's no stranger to the podcast and no stranger to the lovely dance floor either. What did you think, Lita? Were you rooting for Rashad?
Okay, so I have to confess that I was spoiled when I watched this, which was very sad. I yes. know. So the Penguins.
How do you get spoiled on Dancing with the Stars?
Because I didn't watch it live. I didn't know, like, before it aired.
I see. Okay.
The Penguins were playing last night. They lost. And I'm very upset about it.
Sports.
Yes. I thought you were going to say spoiler alert for that. And I was like, I think I could spoil who won the hockey game last night.
Yeah,
so I was very upset about that. So I didn't get to actually start watching until like 11 p.m. And I just went on Twitter and everyone was tweeting about it. And I accidentally saw, I think Matt Liguori was bragging about calling Normani being third. And I was like, congratulations on your correct prediction. But also, okay, now I know. So it was a little bit of a slog. I didn't know who won. I just knew that Normani lost.
Well, yeah. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
That kind of ruins the whole 2 hours.
It was 2.5 hours. So it was.
Yeah, it was a long one.
It was
long
a little
one.
Bit of a slog because by the time I finished it, it was like 1 a.m. anyway. And like the combination of just being tired and disappointed from the hockey game and like disappointed about Nani was just like put a bumper on my whole. But it's fine. Sometimes it's good to be emotionally prepared for these results.
Well, we're going to backtrack a little bit because I do want to touch a little bit upon what happened on Monday night, because they did throw two episodes of Dancing with the Stars at us this week as if we needed more content. But yeah, Monday night was sort of a little bit of an extra redemption dance episode to sort of give us an opportunity to vote one extra time for our three finalists. So Normani, David, and Rashad, three Mirrorball hopefuls. They were going to be given a dance that they have danced in the past and redeem themselves again to whatever, like, dance it better or something. So David and Lindsay danced the Viennese waltz to Let's Hurt Tonight by One Republic. And they did this redemption round routine. It was his most memorable year week. I don't know if you recall, but it was like super stiff and his butt was sticking out and he was like fine, but like he like did it again and it was okay still. I don't know.
But was still
hot
sticking
takes
out.
On this. Yeah, his butt was still terrible.
The lemons did
my favorite part of the video package was when he was watching the video and he says, "You move, see, watch this, you move, and I'm just standing there." And I was like, "Yes,
yeah, that's
David,
the whole that's season
what's happening the whole time. That's still what's happening.
That's not changed." Oh, sorry to all of our fans who hate when we hate on David, but no, he has improved. He has improved.
I also, one of my big takeaways here was I think that he probably sold his family on doing Dancing with the Stars by saying specifically that he'll be out in a couple weeks. And so I think that everyone's mad at him.
Oh, like, for sure.
Like, he was supposed to be home ages ago, and I think he's got a wife to report to, and he's probably in some trouble.
Well, there's one point where he's, like, on the phone with his daughter, and his daughter's like, that's going in my bedroom. Like, that Mirrorball trophy, if you win that's going in my room. And it's like, and she's, like, not kidding. Like, she's 100% serious.
Yeah.
But he's basically, like, what do you call it in a beauty pageant when, like, somebody's, like, the nice one?
Miss Congeniality.
Yeah, that's like him at this point. Like, he's just like there to be there, and like he does fine. Like, so he, like, I guess he redeams himself on this dance. Whatever.
I really thought he was gonna win.
I was so nervous. But Normani and Val also have a redemption dance to do, and they do a quick step to check it out. And this was a quick step that they did at the beginning of the season as well. And she dances this in a cat suit, and that's like the biggest critique that she gets is that she's wearing a cat suit and they can see all of her mistakes.
It's also like a see-through cat suit. It's not just like,
it's like hot.
It's like transparent.
Like, so sexy. But basically Carrion and Bruno think that she's the best, and Julian and Len are like, we can see that your bodies aren't connecting and you would have been able to hide that in a dress. They still give her like really good scores, but they dock her 2 points, which is just like the weirdest thing.
I mean, she didn't whatever pick the costume, presumably, right?
She must have consented to it, though, right? Because, like, ladies, as dancers, have you ever had to dance in an outfit that you were like, I don't know that this shows off?
Yes, 100%.
100%, and I got no choice.
Okay. They pick the choreographer and the director, they pick the costumes. You have no say. Absolutely none. I imagine in Dancing with the Stars, that is a little different. Because it is more of like Val is probably like directing the whole thing, and he's probably being like, I want it to look like this, but
I almost felt like it was a strategy. Like, they were so confident in her technique that they wanted to show off that she has that technique, because at this point, not everybody, because it's a weird David season, but for the most part in the finale, everybody's pretty good. So if you're one step ahead, like Normani, I think they just got cocky. And they were like, if we will get extra points for showing off and not hiding behind a skirt. And then there was like a tiny little flaw that they picked on because they could see it because she didn't have a skirt.
I guess she also like crunchy, like broke her ankle during the
brutal.
And that was like really gross to me.
It was incredibly
brutal. I wrote like really loud crunch noise during rehearsal. Cat suit. Oh,
yeah, that's sort of the takeaways.
Whatever, the queen stays queen. And Rashad and Emma had a Viennese waltz to Dark Times by the Weekend.
Hot. Oh my God.
Yeah. This was a really good. So this was like, was this the one where they were in the green in the office?
Yep.
This was like, again, they were like trying to be like 50 Shades of Grey. Like, I feel like this is not the first time done this on the show. Like, this was just like from the production standpoint, they've used this set before. Like, I think even Normani and Val did a dance in this set. This is like the second time they've done this like set. But it was good. It's like romantic.
I have already forgotten what that set looks like because I was watching them the entire time.
It's like a weird like office, like in the nighttime, like window panes. It was very good.
Very improved.
Anyway, so that's your freestyles.
I felt like they did.
They were the best of the three, yeah. Like improvement wise. But
they also had really cute interstitials this episode. They were doing like they're playing rock, paper, scissors at one point, and they were just like standing. They were doing this like awkward TikTok thing where they were pretending to be clocks. Like it was just they were so cute.
We also found out that Rashad has never won anything. He says that he wants to win and he wants it for him and his partner and he gets like super emotional. And that's like a theme throughout the rest of like the next two nights that he's never won anything.
Yeah. I think
he's played football
as much as one can possibly read the edit on Dancing with the Stars, because they obviously don't know who's going to win until the votes come in. This is one of those things that people watch and they're like, they want us to want Rashad to win. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's like definitely that's how I felt a little bit, that he was like the front runner.
Yeah, I wasn't confident that I thought anybody could have taken this at any point. But one of the things that I was thinking about a lot during this was the fact that throughout the whole season, that final two, like last to be called safe thing, is a random couple. So we have no sense of who has been in the bottom and how the votes have actually been shaping out. And both Normani and Rashad, it's possible because they've been at the top of the leaderboard, they've never really... we've been given no indication what their fan support is like. So it's very possible they've been out in front of David all the whole time in terms of fan votes, but because they shouldn't have, they were never in danger of going home because their judges' scores were high enough. It never really occurred to us that, like, we just sort of assumed David had the most fan votes no matter what. So it's possible Rashad's had an insane amount of support as well as David the whole time. He just it hasn't been as newsworthy because he's been getting the scores that accompany those, that sort of level
in
the competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, I just want to know, Lita, you're really good with the sort of terminology and the very technical stuff. Bruno had a note that he complimented them on that is a technical term I've never heard before, and I'd like it explained to me. What do you think sexual tonality is? Because this made me laugh very hard.
I do not believe that that's a formal ballroom term.
What? No.
No, it's
lying.
Not.
You're lying.
I think this is Bruno knowing that the word chemistry is beaten to death on this show and just he made up a thesaurus synonym for it.
Sexual tonality, guys.
Tonality.
They do have I think that sexual he's tonality, though.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
No, that he's was never like wrong.
Oh man, so good. But yeah, so they were the best ones out of the three for that.
This was actually my favorite dance of the night. I don't know why. I just
out of the free. Yeah, I mean, so we move on after this to the freestyle round, which is usually everyone's favorite part of the whole season. But I will say, I was sort of not let down, but I wasn't as hyped this season, and I wasn't as impressed by what came out of it as I thought I would be.
Do you think that's because we've been seeing contemporaries and jazz all season, so it undermines the freestyle a little bit?
Oh, good point.
Maybe a little bit, but I also think that out of the three pros that were left, I think that out of the three pros that are left, we've only ever seen a freestyle from Val that was over the top or crazy or something like for the books. And I think that the celebrity that he was with wasn't asking for that and wasn't doing that. You know, that wasn't what she was about. So, you know,
I actually think that Lindsay's biggest skill set is the freestyle. She's made it to the finale with like a couple different guys who probably shouldn't have been in the finale.
Yeah.
So she's really creative. And I was really looking forward to hers. I think Val tends to do kind of boring freestyles. I think it's one of his
Val
weaknesses.
Is just really like intellectual. I just felt like he's too.
Yeah. I was expecting him to maybe do something a little bit more. I sort of expected what he did. And I thought that one was the best one, him and Normani. And then I felt like Emma and Rashad's was, from what they described it as in rehearsals, I felt like it was going to be better than it was. And then David and Lindsay's, I didn't really like at all. So I guess we'll go through them one by one. But David and Lindsay go first. So I guess, Kelly, since you were already talking about it, what did you think of the It Takes Two, Take Me Out to the Ball Game mashup? We witnessed on our screens.
I thought it was really fun. Like understanding that David can't really dance. So right. Jumping off from there, I think that Lindsay did a really good job. She was really creative. There was a lot of fun, silly things that he could execute well and look good doing, like that little bat dance. I think the spin at the end where she was wrapped around the bat was so cool. It was high energy. It had a ton of troop dancers. I think that it was sort of the best case scenario for David in this situation. Obviously, it's not going to measure up to Normani, who is like on a dancing level. Hers was amazing. On a narrative level and on a sort of pizzazz level, if you will, I don't think it landed as hard as David's or Rashad's.
Yeah.
But I obviously can't dance, but I thought this was clever. And I think that it really showcased that Lindsay is really pretty creative, especially when she has someone who's not the strongest dancer, which she almost seems to always have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I said the last time that I was on this podcast that I am most comfortable with David and Lindsay when they don't have some sort of like relationship built into the dance. Like, I don't like when it's like sexy between the two of them. I don't like when it's the father-daughter thing between the two of them. I like it best when it's like this or their very first routine where they're just two people. There's a theme. She's in a cute outfit. He's in a cute outfit.
It's like almost like a group thing.
Yeah. It could be from a musical. Like, that is when I
agree.
Am the most comfortable with David and Lindsay dancing together. So I had no problem with this.
Yeah, agreed. I agree. And I feel like even their highlight move where he like spins her around on the bat was like cool, but it also was like a little too close for comfort. Like, I was like, oh, that's a pelvis touching like another pelvis. Oh, like, no. I think that's like, that might be like, that's like a great point to touch upon, Lita, because it does make me uncomfy. But it was my out of the three, my least favorite, but I think that's just my style. Like, I just was not feeling the baseball vibe that night, but that was just how I was feeling on Monday night.
And it was gimmicky. Yeah. So if you're looking for content,
super gimmicky.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, I was like, I want like a freestyle like that's just going to make me super emotional and like also or just like really, really well danced. You know, if it's going to be like really exciting and energetic, it has to be like a Mark Ballas like original. You know,
oh, I miss him so much.
Yeah, so good. So yeah, then we moved on to Normani and Val, who did What the World Needs Now is Love, and they did a freestyle to that, which was like the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Question: what was this about? Because I didn't understand the children at all.
So this was about how she wants to be a representation of like a role model. I think
she's inspiring the next generation.
Exactly.
I think it was just to get us hype for the children's version that they're doing, their spinoff.
Aha, there we go.
Yeah, maybe. But that's what she said, that she felt like Val sort of brought her out of her shell and that she She feels like that she is leaving as a different person, and that she wants that what she experienced here to be an example of like something that like, you know, like other little girls can do. And like she wants to be the role model for the next generation. And I liked it because that little kid part was a very small portion of their dance. Which I appreciated, because when I saw it happening in the rehearsal, I was like, oh no. This is going to be like a thing. But it was good because it was like very small portion. So that was my favorite one. What did you guys think?
Well, I really liked how Val's heart literally lit up when she touched it. I like a good literalized metaphor. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
He had like a little light up thing in his shirt.
Yeah, I liked that too.
Yeah, I mean, it was beautiful. It was lovely. It just wasn't super memorable to me. I think if there weren't children in it, it would have been hard for me to even like remember any details about this, which is not great. I mean, that doesn't mean it wasn't super well danced or it wasn't, you know, meaningful. But it just, compared to some of the other stuff that I've seen these two do, it left me a little unsatisfied.
Do you guys think that Normani just peaked too early? I feel like these last 2 weeks haven't really showcased her at all.
Yeah, and I think that also her injuries probably didn't help. I think that they probably had some issues where if she was not getting injured so much in rehearsals, they probably would not have been as distracted. I think that they may have had some issues there. But yeah, I think that they were much less focused these last 2 weeks than they were previous weeks. So
yeah, and just the fact that she's so good that you can't really like see any demonstrable improvement in her in the last couple of weeks, whereas like with David and Rashad, you can actually see them getting better because they didn't start out technically very good. But yeah, that's a good point, because the judges like to see that improvement, and so does the audience.
Yeah. And I think the judges were really captivated by this. I think that that might be something that we are missing sort of. I mean, I was really captivated by it, but I think you also had to be in like the right headspace. But I think maybe it doesn't translate as well when you're not there in person too. I think like you had to be on the journey they were on almost, to sort of be in that place with them. And we just like were watching TV. So,
did it annoy you guys at all that it seemed to me that everybody just automatically got perfect scores on their freestyle?
No, it didn't annoy me, because I feel like if you don't give everyone a perfect score on their freestyle, like what are you doing? Like, you're just ruining someone's chances at this point.
Yeah, but they're the judges. That's their job.
No.
Who are they to judge?
No. Okay. Especially at this point and for this season, like, no. Like just no.
I think it would have bothered me if any of them were, like, outrageously not tens, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. If they were like so bad or something, yeah, like then I would have been like, what, are you kidding me? Like, but they were all really good. Like, they were danced well, they were choreographed well. Like, I think that there was no reason not to.
Yeah, sure. Especially because David went first. Once you go through that door, it's hard to go back through it.
So true. Speaking
but
of.
The last one was the one where the judges flipped out and like stood up and went crazy. And this was apparently like a new classic freestyle that's going to get YouTubed forever and ever.
I do not agree with that.
Oh, I do not agree with that at all. But that appeared to be the reaction, which threw
me. I mean,
through.
Okay, so I agree with the energy of it. I feel like there is an energy to Rashad and Emma that is undeniable. They have that energy in every dance that they do. They have a connection. Like, you can't deny that. But this dance is just them, like, bebopping around the stage to Up Down Funk, like, in a drum line.
Okay, drum line got me so hype, though. Like, I was really with Rashad on that. Like, that might be because I used to perform at sports games, but like that really was a good call, in my opinion, at least in getting people like
hooked. I agree. I love drum lines. I would just say that like the energy in this was definitely 10, and like the choreography and the dancing was like maybe like an 8.
Yeah,
you know,
I thought it was pretty sloppy.
Yeah, I was like, there's like and there were like the lifts that they were doing and the tricks that they were doing, like, looked like really sketchy. Like, I felt like that they were like not prepared for this.
Yeah, the lift, the big lift was definitely not solid.
No, yeah. So scary. But I guess he had to be there.
It was a lot of fun, but it did remind me of my favorite freestyle ever on the show, which was Amber Riley's step routine, which was just like,
oh, that was so good. I forgot about that.
Unbelievable. And the reason it stood out was because it was so incredibly crisp, because that style of dancing, like the stepping, it has to be really, really crisp. So when he wanted to do the drumline, that's very cool. It's cool that he really wanted to put himself into it and he had these ideas and it tied back to football. Like, it was a cool idea, but it needed to be a lot sharper. And it just wasn't. And which then surprised me. We later learned that he clocked 362 hours over the course of the season.
Well, he's a beast.
In rehearsal.
Yeah, that's,
and he,
they said that's 100 more. Than anybody else.
And he started off like a relatively good dancer. So, like, I don't know why he was never quite able to get the cleanliness that I wanted from him, but like, this really put it into harsh perspective. I was like, oh, I really just think that Normani should win.
Yeah. And he's also, I think, maybe just like, you have to think, like, depends on how you are learning too. I mean, maybe he needed those 100 extra hours to like learn the choreography. Maybe he just wasn't as able to pick it up like someone like Normani, you know? So
that is very true.
Who knows?
What do you think of those costumes? Because I think the costume department lost their minds.
I loved them, though. They were, like, spot on, like, 90s Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like, realness.
There was a lot of Fresh Prince.
Fresh Prince. Yeah. That's totally what it was.
Because Alfonso was there as well in the next one.
Alfonso's always there. Alfonso just lives at Dancing with the Stars now.
I mean, what else is he doing?
There was a lot of people in the audience these past two. Yeah, you can't even do an audience count, like, for these two, because it was just, like, chock full.
I tried, if you want to hear it.
Go for it.
Maybe later.
Okay. So it was like mostly the people from the season. You've got your Charo, your Nancy, your Simone, those sort of people. I was surprised to see Chris Kattan back, frankly. I thought he was just going to like storm out and never come back. We also got Robert Hershovic there to support Kim in her finale. We had all of the sort of like second tier, meaning not Normani, Fifth Harmony people. They were my favorite reaction when she got third.
Yes.
They were so mad. Pissed. It was hilarious. We also got Alfonso Ribeiro. Melissa Rycroft was there, who I like so much. Jordan Sparks was there,
was she?
Which I thought was interesting.
For some reason,
I didn't see her.
And Chong were there?
Were they really? I did not spot them.
In the front row.
That's so funny. And Bill Nye, who was sitting right over Tom's shoulder and really just keeping an eye on everything as he does, just to make sure we're all, you know, keeping it above board. He's an important authority figure in everyone's lives.
He knows things.
He knows so many things. I would take his advice on basically anything.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe Jordan Sparks is going to be like a judge on the new American Idol now that it's on ABC or something.
Oh my God, I can't.
Oh. That's a good idea. Katy Perry's definitely doing it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. There was rumors for years that Adam Lambert was going to be a judge on American Idol, and I think that would be perfect. So I like this idea of former contestants doing it.
Yes, me too.
Not that that's not totally off topic, but anyway. Any other like wrap up thoughts on the freestyles, or should we move on to the epic?
We're going to move right along to Tuesday night. Things were split up this week, but you know, lace up those dancing shoes. So we were brought into the finale in grand finale fashion. They had it. They like to do this where it's just like a whole blown up nonsense thing, just like the premiere is, but even bigger. They start us outside. It's like a huge extravaganza, and they love to do this. It's just like crazy. And they have this a performance from Haley Steinfeld. How do you say it?
Steinfeld.
And they
who
just,
I
like,
adore.
Yeah, me too.
But you do.
Stop trying to be a pop star.
She 100%. I love her, but like it was like she was way too pop starry.
Yeah. Right? Well, and like, anyway, it's like she didn't even see Edge of 17. Like, how that girl should be a very serious, excellent, like A-list actor and like leave it there, because that is her skill set. Yeah. Every time she tries to sing, people are like, no.
I love her stop. As both. I loved that movie and I like her music.
Really?
Yes, really.
I like her music on the radio, but when I see her perform in person, I get like a little upset.
She's not the best.
In all fairness, I've never actually listened to her music on the radio. I just feel like when she performs live, she's very radio.
Like performative.
Like, and she's so awkward.
Well, get it, girl. Like, you do you.
Yeah, anyway. I guess. Be what you want to be.
They had so many, like, more than I can count, like, interstitials of prose dancing. But the one thing that I would like to point out, and I think you ladies will agree with me, is that Alan is my new favorite human on Dancing with the Stars. And I think, like, I love him.
Oh, I've been there for years.
No, like, I have been there, but, like, during this thing, like, I think ABC is there as well, because he was, like, front and center on every single interstitial dance that they could have possibly put him in.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's now this weird sort of strange thing where he's in the troupe, but he's also someone that the audience knows and that the producers know the audience
yes.
knows. As opposed to someone like Haley, who a bunch of us do know because we watched a show on another network.
Yeah.
Alan,
like, he better be a pro next year.
Well, I think Max coming out and literally just saying that he should be a pro next year, whether he was on the fence or not, I think he's a pretty good bet. And I'm so happy about that. I love Alan. I've loved him since his So You Think You Can Dance tenure. He's delightful and
for
like
sure,
just
yeah.
kind of a little bit weird, and I love that. Like, he's so strange.
Like, yeah, so I did like his man bun.
Did you?
Yeah. So
How
we
did
do
you
have
feel
some...
about PETA bullying him about his man bun.
I loved that, actually.
Always bullying men about
yeah, so
man
we have
buns.
Some...
I'm sorry.
Not a fan. So we go into some fun little things, but first we take like a look back on everyone. So we have some
a lot
some
of recaps.
Yeah, there's a lot of recaps, and we don't need to go into all of them. But for the hot takes, we take a look back on David and Lindsay, Rashad and Emma, Normani and Val, and how they make it to this finale. And for the like the Cliff Notes version of it all, I guess David and Lindsay feel that Lindsay's like another daughter to him, and that I know it's so, and they right. like they like are they really do feel like that though. Like it's kind of like a little weird, yeah. but. She's 23 and his daughter, apparently, but they're like in love with each other.
We know
and best
how
friends.
Old his actual kids are. Are they like
younger 23?
They're like children.
No, they're like, they're like 10, maybe like 5 and 3 or something.
Oh,
like
so they're like
that.
Real like, children. Like okay. Children. She doesn't have like a teenager. Who's,
no,
oh,
not at wow. all.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
This is what I've been saying.
And then
yeah. Lita was right.
Not a
the
fan of this
time.
Dynamic.
No, it's odd. Yeah.
Do you think that maybe they're leaning so hard into this because they know that their dynamic is kind of awkward and so they're really trying
yes.
to sell the single? It's almost
they're
like
selling
the,
it.
Yeah,
they're like
the same thing as the Bonner and Sharna thing, but like backwards.
I think, yeah, and they're not trying to sell it. They're just like, it's like that thing where like you have a crush or like you have a crush on like your best friend's boyfriend and like he has a crush on you and you're like, oh my God, yeah, wouldn't it be funny if we dated? Like,
like we're like
you're
siblings.
Like, I think of him like he's like a brother
yeah,
to
he's
me.
Like my brother.
and it's like, just like the biggest lie.
Overcompensating. Yeah. I think that's what we're looking
overcompensating.
For.
Overcompensating. Yeah, he's like, pretty consistently throughout this episode, he just keeps saying, like, I can't believe she's had such a big effect on my life. Like, she's like a daughter to me. She's like a daughter to me. It's like he's
well,
a robot.
He did also have this, like, slightly condescending, like, this little 23-year-old thing.
I
like,
know.
How did this, how does she, how is she smart and interesting? And I was like, well, okay.
Wow. Like, she's pretty well off. Like, you should knock down that attitude. But yeah,
she's a literal expert in her field, but sure, whatever. We're fine calling her a little 23-year-old. That's fine.
Yeah.
Can we talk about just very briefly touch on how weird it was that there was like a group routine of female pros plus.
Oh, we're getting there.
Oh, okay.
We're getting there. Yeah, so we're doing the, this is like they're reminiscing through each person. So they do a little reminiscing on Rashad and Emma, and that's when they talk about how Rashad telling Emma that this wouldn't have been the same without her. And then we do a little hot take on Normani and Val, and how Val like goes right into like a super harsh like cry session.
Loved it.
Val is like, this show is about people. It's not about dancing. And I'm like, disagree.
Disagree, because it's called Dancing with the Stars.
Not called People with the Stars.
People with the Stars.
Question, going back to the Rashad retrospective, was it just me or did anybody else spend a significant amount of this episode yelling at the screen, just leave Sasha? Just leave him.
For sure. Yes. For sure. Yeah, because I think that they should date.
I think they should just fall in love and get married and have lots and lots of babies. Like, I just think they're perfect.
I read a recap of the episode, and I wrote this down because I thought it was so funny. And the writer wrote that we should just call this portion of the show Come Watch Adults Cry. Because, yes. That's what it is.
I do love
So after the portion of the show, Come Watch Adults Cry, we go for a small breather, which is what you're talking about, Lita, which is the Dancing with the Stars offering up the sexual exploitation of all of the women troupe.
Why was it so
where
wet?
They dance?
Why it's was so it wet?
So it's dance. Yeah, so it's a dance choreographed by Whitney, also including Heather Morris.
Yeah,
so
it's set the female Bishop Briggs plus Heather Morris. I was so confused.
Yeah,
I think it's just Heather going on tour with them, and they were just showcasing a dance that's going to be on the tour.
Wouldn't they have?
It's possible.
Told us
I think
them?
They also just probably jived with Heather quite a bit. The female pros, I think that they probably just liked her a lot, and they were like, "Hey, do you want to be in this?" And they taught it to her maybe a day before, and she was in it then.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just kind of cool, right? Like, I think maybe the producers were just trying to drive it home. Like, right, guys, this person was a professional dancer and she went out in the middle of the show. That's crazy. And she never that TLC routine is just aces.
Oh, so
and
good. I was so excited. Which we get to see later. Thank goodness.
But other than that, she didn't ever really get a chance to show what that the extent to which she can dance. Yeah. So it was cool to see her in her genre, just side by side with the pros. It was cool. I liked it.
And then we also
I did not
get
however the you talked about the objectification of the women, the when
I was just
trying
gonna
to
say
even the scales with the men. This was the creepiest, grossest, what?
Yeah, I was just gonna say the male pros also get their own little number. This was which is just wrought with pelvic thrusts and no shirts and lots of oil.
This was literally
the B-list male all-stars too.
Hey, don't say that about Artem. I'm in love with him.
Artem was the hot one.
I do love Artem, but there was too much Gleb. There's always too much Gleb.
So much Gleb. Oh my God.
This was literally maybe 60% choreography and 40% freestyle gyrating. It was so much gross. Undulation.
Do people agree with me that they could do without this That's What I Like song for the rest of their lives? I hate this song.
Bruno
Mars
so
had a big night.
And then I also felt it was
no yeah. really I don't yeah. know anything about music, but Rashad bookended his season with Bruno Mars
because so he that's did why funk.
But this song, and it also reminds me so much and it will always remind me of Bonner's terrible trio dance and now that's stuck in my head forever to this song.
I was actually singing this song today at work, and this is why I was singing
it's
it
why,
I didn't
yeah.
remember. Oh my God, I was singing Champagne on and Diamonds and all that jazz on ice today at work, and and everyone was like, why are you singing that? Ugh. And I was like, that's a great question, and I hate myself.
Did they report you to HR? Because this song is permanently
that's
creepy.
Hilarious. I'm the HR and talent manager for my entire company, so I can do what I want.
Harassment by a song totally flies. It's fine.
I would have to report myself to myself. But then they also did this weird thing in the men's one where they all did the dance and Max just came out of the side and stood in the middle.
He choreographed it. It seemed to me he choreographed it.
Yeah, it was very Max
It was still weird.
Also just the way he sort of put himself into it at the very end and focused on him. It felt they were trying to tell us that he choreographed it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's still weird, though, for like a choreographer to walk on stage during his dance. Just be like, here I am.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, except if you account for personality and the fact that he's Matt Shmurkowski. Like, that's just... like, you gotta give him points for at least being true to himself, right?
Yeah. There's too much Magic Mike tonight, because this was not the only one of us.
Were you shocked that they brought that back, that David routine? I was shocked.
It was...
Before we got to the Magic Mike, we also had... they basically, I guess, like, the theme of this was, let's have everyone dance one of the things that we think that America liked the most. So Nancy and Artem went first, and they did like a Shake Your Bonbon dance. They did that cha-cha that they, or the samba set that they did.
Didn't you love this? I feel like you loved this. Oh,
I did. And I loved it again. So Nancy and Artem did that, which I felt like it went really great. And then they did... Bonner and Shauna did like a weird country dance number.
I'm going to confess that I fast forwarded through that because I just can't more second of Bonner.
It wasn't good. And then like what was weird was that later in the show, Lady Antebellum performed. And they also had like a country set of dancing in front of them. But that was all pros. And it was awesome. So it was not good. And then Charo didn't dance, but she played classical.
Yeah, it turned into a talent show.
Guitar.
I was like,
but guys, I love this. I love this idea of showing us Charo in a field where she's not only exceptional, but she's exceptional and serious. Like, this is her art form, and that was so great, and I loved it so much. And I was just like hooting and hollering in a way that I never did for Charo before. Loved it.
Yeah, and Keo and Whitney were just like amazing. They were baller.
Yes, so great. Loved so much. Everything about this was amazing.
Nick and Peeta dance, but only to expose like his bromance with Max.
Also, I think this is also fake.
Yes.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're friends, but like whatever.
This would have been fine if they had actually kissed, but since they didn't, I was like, this is a waste of my time.
And then we finally got the Max and Heather Waterfalls TLC dance, but they were actually backed up by TLC, which was like a moment to live for.
I didn't realize that TLC was still a thing since they are down a member.
Really, they haven't.
What happened to the third member of TLC? This was a note that I
wasn't
had to
it
ask
Left
you guys.
Eye. Isn't she dead?
Is she dead? Whoa! I just assumed she left, but this is a good twist. What, really? I don't know anything about music, and I could have just Googled it.
I feel like I need to hold my tongue because, like, I really don't know. And, like, maybe I should go on Google.
Yeah, Lisa, okay. I am almost positive she's dead.
Okay.
Yes. Wikipedia'd it. Thank God. That would have been a really nasty rumor for me to spread. Yeah. Yes. She died a long time ago.
She unfortunately passed away.
15 years ago. So I did not think that TLC was still a thing, so I was very surprised by this.
I think they just came out with an album, though, which is
why they're
there,
headlining
a
90s
they have,
tour.
Like, a self-titled. Yeah,
well, that's sweet.
Chili looks amazing.
Yeah,
they both look really good. Yeah, so they danced to that, and that was honestly like a highlight for me because I love that dance.
I will never get over that rap section.
Like, so good,
amazing.
And then I guess Simone and Sasha danced again to Moana. And that was a lot.
Okay, so this singer was just out of the regular Dancing with the Stars band, right? Like, this was not...
No.
We've only... What? Sorry? It wasn't the girl, the Moana girl.
No, the Moana girl's like 12.
No, not again.
Yeah, and so, like, I feel like every time we've heard the Moana song, it's always been that girl, because she just goes and sings it whenever they need the song. Like, she did it at the Oscars, she did it on Dancing with the Stars, she's obviously on the recording. So I've never actually heard this attempted to be sung by anybody else. This did not go well for this singer. Like, she messed up the lyrics at one point. She was
I didn't
not
even notice.
I know.
Yeah.
This was... like, they danced it beautifully, great routine, my favorite Simone routine, blah, 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 but, like... well, this is not great.
I would love.
I wasn't. Speaking.
I would love this routine.
I guess I wasn't paying attention
so much more. And this is true also of the Normani Disney night routine, which I also love. I would love both of these routines so much more if they didn't take them so literally. Like, we don't have to do like semi-racist costuming. Like, there doesn't have to literally be a boat.
So true.
He doesn't have to be wearing a grass skirt.
That we totally failed to make.
Like.
Very good.
It just, I would love it so much more. Like, we would get it if they weren't literally, like, dressed like stereotypes of Polynesian people. I don't know.
Like, if they weren't wearing the characters' costumes.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be so exact. Like, we would still get it.
That's a, that's a really fair point. That's apt.
Yeah.
And it's true of the Mulan routine, too, where it's like, you didn't have to wear, like, the bun and like I don't know.
Yeah. Well, especially because something like that, if they'd modernized, she could have done it in like some sort of martial arts uniform that is a thing that now is worn by people of many races.
Or just like a utilitarian costume. You could have just worn a utilitarian like sort of like uniform.
Yeah. Or done, they could have done like a contemporary soldier thing. You're right. You're absolutely right.
They could have worn Haley Steinfeld's army outfit.
Oh my god, nobody would ever wear that. That was a terrible costume.
There was also a really lovely group routine before all of these things that I really liked, where they were all in the blue and gold. It was like a Charleston, Mandy Moore Charleston.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Why don't I have that in my notes?
Are you talking about the big like one where they basically introduced all of the couples again?
Yeah, where they
the big Mandy Moore routine with that like sort of had the Steadicam shot.
Yeah, and they like did little cameos from all the other contestants that had been eliminated.
Yeah.
Sorry to all of our listeners. There were a lot of dances in this finale.
Like, what do you think was up with this 2.5 hour thing, right? Because like what you were talking about with Honor being happening not at the same time as the Lady Antebellum.
We haven't even started to talk about their actual dances yet. We're just talking about the interstitial dances.
Like there were so many troop routines and things like that. And this what Lita's talking about, the Steadicam sort of like cameo number. The cursory Mandy Moore number, which is always the opening, the show opener. It happened partway through. Like, they did a full act of the show and then did what was ostensibly the show opener. And so it almost felt like they were dragging this out. Like, ABC gave them a time slot that was way too long. And so they were like, okay, well, we'll definitely have Bonner dance and a country music thing. And we'll separate, like, they weren't economical with their time at all because they were just trying to drag things out as long as possible to fill a time slot that they weren't prepared for content-wise.
Right after this, they'd go into the three finalists get to show off some of their favorite dances of the season. This is where David does his magic mic. Emma and Rashad do their week one cha-cha. And then Normani and Val do their construction theme salsa. Like, why was this even in there?
Well,
like,
I'm this all is for such... reprising the favorite dances. Yes, I just have a really hard time believing these are at all the favorite dances.
Correct.
Like, I was shocked because week one cha-cha, other than to really drive home the Bruno Mars parallel.
And then, like, the construction theme dance, like, Bruno and Len was, like, that was funny.
Bruno just was really
I want
show.
More Bruno dancing. I think that would be a really good
that was really
of the
funny.
Show.
Yeah, and then we got like some random performances by One Republic and Lady Antebellum, which was just another opportunity for more troop dancers to like blow it out of the park. Like, they were killing it. And then we got our trip down like the weird TV Mr. T dance fixes everything. which I'd love
was
to hear
the
a recap.
Surreal highlight of my world.
Yeah, I'd love to hear like one of you describe this to me, just for our listeners. Like, if somebody wants to just take the wheel, Jesus, and like
that, Lita should try that because I was delirious through the whole thing.
This was so confusing. So it was like an '80s PSA, and it was like a rap. It was like, what fixes everything? Dance. And like, there were cameos from his friend Nancy and his friend Chris. And at one point across the screen, it said, don't do drugs. And it was just like a thing that you would see like during commercial breaks for like, I don't know, if you would watch like Saturday morning cartoons on PBS, if you were like me and you didn't have cable. And like this would be during the commercials, or like commercials during Zoom or something. It was very strange. I was kind of into it though. Because was like what I was saying about how it turned into a talent show, where I thought like all of the former people were going to do dances, but then they're like, no, Charo's going to play the guitar and Mr. T is going to do like a rap.
Yeah. And then like they did the thing where it was like PETA was picking on Alan because he had weird hair. And then they were like, don't pick on him because of his hair. And Mr. T was like, dance fixes everything.
Yeah.
And, and they were all dressed in like weird 80s clothes. It was so strange, but I was into it. I was there for it.
It was so surreal. It was really a like, I really love like when a really mainstream, very, very normal show just goes full weird. And this was full weird.
They were like, we officially have way too much time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got weird and I liked
Although, I do think it must have been a direct reference to something. Like, I almost imagine it was maybe shot for shot of a terrible 80s PSA, because it felt so hyper specific that it must have been a very.
Oh, I'm sure. And Mr. T was all about that kind of stuff back in the day.
Exactly.
And that's like what he does now, is like all this like charity work.
Yeah,
so,
I just Googled Mr. T 80s PSA and the first thing that comes up is anti-drug PSA Mr. T.
Exactly.
So it must have been like a famous thing that he did in 1985.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to move on, right?
To this weird dirty dancing thing. Where is dirty dancing an important touchstone, guys?
For sure. Okay. Yes, 100%.
Is this a scene from the upcoming thing? Like a
No,
because Abby Breslin is in it. It's not Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah, but so she was maybe playing like a cool girl who can dance before baby learns how to dance.
We need to look this up, because I feel like maybe Nicole Scherzinger even in this?
I think she must be. I think she must play like the cool girl who already knows how to dance.
I like that you think that there's a character in Dirty Dancing that is just like the cool girl.
She looked, I think
have
there is.
Have you seen Dirty Dancing?
I have not. I will.
Isn't she, remember the girl who like gets pregnant? And it's, or is that her sister?
Are you thinking of Grease?
That's not like her character.
I saw it once so long ago.
Also,
I don't know. I'm on IMDb. I'm figuring it out.
Okay, why were they terribly lip syncing this? Nicole Scherzinger is such a good singer.
Yeah, that was bad. Oh, she does play Penny. Yeah, which is the dance teacher. Yeah, she does play like the girl who gets pregnant and then has to have the abortion. And then,
I was completely right. Right. She's the one.
You were, but that's not her character's like cool description. Girl. The cool girl.
I don't know. So as opposed to like baby specifically, not a cool girl. And, you know, there are two types
of
people.
Cool. I don't think anyone in that movie is like described as like the cool girl.
I don't know. She looked to me like Cha-Cha from Grease.
No, yes, her costume was weird, because if you look up pictures on Google of Nicole Scherzinger in the movie, she doesn't look like, she looks good in the movie, like in the ABC movie.
Cha-Cha
like
from Grease looks great. That was not
no, but she looks accurate. I should say she looks like movie accurate. In the stills from the ABC movie, she looks like she belongs in Dirty Dancing. Like, she doesn't look like she belongs on like in Grease.
I heard that revival is 3 hours long, so I will not be watching.
I'm so excited!
Yeah. No, it's like a TV. They're basically trying to do the live musicals, but pick something that's not. Like, it is a musical, but they're not doing the musical version. Although maybe they are, because there is definitely singing, because Deborah Messing was talking to Seth Meyers about how she had to sing.
Deborah Messing is in it?
Deborah Messing's the mom. She's the Kelly Bishop
role.
Again,
I have never seen that film. But
okay, so
that's amazing to me, Lita. I can't believe you've never seen Dirty Dancing.
I may have seen like parts of it, but
you've probably seen the main.
You need to come over. You need to fly to New York.
Okay.
And come over.
Okay.
And we'll watch it.
Okay. I'll come when they do Rent Live, because that's the next one that they're doing. We can do like a double feature.
Yes. Are they really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nicole Scherzinger was Rent's also Mimi in Rent in the Hollywood Bowl one time. So she should be in it again, because she was great.
She should. She can actually sing, which is surprising.
But the problem is, guys, is that this is on tonight at 8 p.m. So none of us will be watching it. But
competing with Survivor.
But I'll be taping it.
It's a Survivor. Play, everybody.
So we move on to the final round of the competition, and then we will hand out the mirror ball. So this is the 24-hour fusion dance challenge, where the contestants are given 24 hours to fuse two dances together as a challenge, as it is so aptly named.
Do we think they actually do this in 24 hours, or do you think that they've been practicing all week?
I don't know. I don't care.
They just seem pretty good for 24 hours.
It seemed fine. Yeah, it seemed like Yeah, I'm sure they were practicing for more than that. David and Lindsay had a foxtrot and a salsa, or as Len says, a salsa. and this was fine.
Yes.
That's all I got.
Who knows things about specific ballroom dance styles? You guys know?
We both do. Yeah.
Okay. Talk to me about these actual styles and how comparable they are. And like, did they pick two things that like really oughtn't be together, or did they pick complementary things? Like, two of these fusions had the foxtrot in it. Is that because the foxtrot mixes well?
No, the foxtrot doesn't mix well, which is why like I would say that it's hard to mix a foxtrot and a salsa.
So they specifically picked things that are hard to mix.
Well, what I think about this is that they all picked two styles that were really, really different from each other. Which I think makes sense, because if you have two styles that are too similar, then like the judges might not be able to tell what you're trying to do, and then they'll ding you on technique. One thing I didn't like, and we'll get to it, but like when they completely separate the styles and don't have any transition between them, I think that that's bad. But I do think it's smart to pick two dances that have like kind of specific hallmarks so that you can tell when you're doing which. I wish that anyone had done a samba, because I love the samba and I don't like the foxtrot. Yeah. And I think that
foxtrot's weird. Yeah.
I love the foxtrot.
I'm sorry. It's just boring.
But I do love a good salsa. So I thought that this was fine. And I think that the foxtrot is actually fine for David. So I think that they sort of got away with two pretty easy dances to fuse together. I mean, I did not like when Carrie Ann admitted that America voted the way that she couldn't vote, meaning that she would have voted for David if she was able to vote.
No, I don't buy that.
I was like, that is pandering. Shut your mouth.
And it was right after like we had several montages of like past winners and stuff, and like, you know, where everybody was basically like, so David is bad at dancing. Like,
but he brings us such joy.
Just like, Rashad is charismatic, Normani is actually good at dancing, and like David sucks.
I thought that was an interesting selection of winners, because they were all personality winners. Like, they were all fair dancers. None of them were the bad dancers who happened to win, but none of them were like Kelly Pickler or Rumor Willis. Like, those people could dance. And when they won, like Meryl Davis, who was like as interesting.
But they were showing us like Bindi,
They were showing us real personality winners. So I thought it was interesting when Bindi was like, I don't know that I could have won this season. And I was like, I maybe agree with you it depends, because she's a real personality winner who also could dance. But like, she shouldn't have been able to beat Normani, for example. And I don't think any of those winners could have. And I say this as the biggest Donny Osmond fan to ever walk the planet.
I was just mad that Heinz Ward wasn't there.
They were not exactly the winners, I didn't think, in terms of actual dance ability. So it was an interesting selection of people.
Yeah, and then I thought he did good. And then I thought Normani and Val picked two dances that were pretty good. I thought the Argentine Tango and the Foxtrot were two song or two styles that were fine. The Argentine Tango is one of my favorite dances. I always feel like Val does that really well. But I will say that he also is pandering quite a bit when he does that to Len, because that's Len's favorite dance. and they got a perfect score, and they were the only couple to get a perfect score during this challenge. I mean, not that that did them any good, but I feel like it sort of showed their ability to sort of handle the technical is above and beyond the other two. So, but I liked it.
There was some distracting lighting going on, because
agreed.
So Normani has an ankle injury, so it makes sense that she wears very low shoes. However, watching ballroom with a woman in kitten heels is not something that like you want your attention drawn to. And for some reason, there was like this bright blue light just like on her feet, and all I could look at were like her tiny heels, and it really bothered me. And maybe that's just a nitpick, but I just couldn't stop looking at her feet. It was very.
You would think somebody would catch that. You would think somebody would be looking, like some producer would be like, "Yeah, her that lighting is not good."
Yeah, because I just don't want to look at the tiny little heels.
Honestly, technically, I other than like the costuming and makeup department, all that kind of stuff are top notch, and often the lighting department. But generally, in terms of like technical execution, as long as the lights stay on and the camera finds the right dancers, I'm impressed. Because Dancing with the Stars,
yeah, I mean it's true. It is complicated.
Yeah, and they're not known for their technical execution. So at this point, honestly, the fact that they were lit at all, I was like, great, sounds good. Because there was literally a blackout during a dance this season.
It's true.
And then Rashad and Emma do a cha-cha and a tango. And this is the one, I think, right, Lita, where they didn't do a good transition.
They completely split it up. And Carrie-Anne said that she likes it, but I think she just wanted to comment on it, but didn't have anything to say about it. You know, like, I think she just wanted to make it known. So she was just like, I like how there was absolutely no transition between the two of those. Like, they were totally separate.
Like, did you like that?
Yeah, because or I did you like just want to bring that to our attention?
Because isn't it called a fusion challenge? Yeah.
Not in but, alternation.
I mean, I didn't hate it, but I didn't think it was like, that's not the challenge. So, like, clearly you didn't do it right. But I mean, I felt like this was like not a waste of time, but like also just like I didn't feel like this held any bearing on much. So I was sort of just pleased to watch them dance again. It was good. And then they all One Republic sang a song and everyone like watched a finalist montage and sobbed. And that was like so weird.
What's the best sheer number of dances that get factored into the final total? Like, we're dealing with the semifinals, like the votes left over from the semifinals and the votes from the finale night, and then 120 total available judges points per contestant. Like, is that too many? Are we spreading out the points too much? Or do you like, because it diminishes, for example, how important the freestyle is because it's weighted equally with this. And there's like 120 is a lot of potential points. Do you think that there should be fewer so that there's more tension and more prominence put on those finale dances from Monday?
I honestly have no idea. I mean, I feel like I imagine it must be a little bit, but it seems like there's just so much content to weigh into it that they're just maybe trying to add more judges scores in there to
It almost feels like they're trying to raise the average so that like David doesn't his perfect score on his freestyle doesn't overwhelm, like it doesn't give him too much credit because he has to do four dances or something.
Like, just in case his fans are a little too insane.
Yeah. But I mean, functionally, like the freestyle points didn't matter because they all got the same score.
Exactly.
So, like, those might as well not have even factored into anything. It just, like, makes for more math and makes for big, impressive totals, like 119 out of 20 instead of, like, 79 out of 80 or whatever.
Yeah. Well, then we get to the most devastating moment of the night where Tom and Aaron announce that they're going to let us know the third place couple. And this is where all of our hearts sink into our stomachs and Normani and Val are announced. And Tom is furious.
How do you feel about the fact that like, Tom and the judges so explicitly react to this sort of thing?
They are furious. Like, Tom Bergeron is like, I'm not even going to tell you to stop clapping. Like, keep clapping. He's just like, I have no words. Like, he was just so upset.
Right.
And Normani was great. She was like, ball on a stick. Like,
I'm going to go resume my world tour now with my very successful group.
I mean, Normani's a class act. She's incredible. It's amazing to me that she's only 20. Like, I just love her. But I think it's very interesting, this idea that like for like 3 weeks in a row now, basically, and actually before that, from the Heather boot, even a little bit the Nancy boot, like we've been getting these huge reactions from Tom and a little bit from Aaron and definitely from the judges. If David had won, following up this sort of slew of reactions that all essentially boil down to how is David still here, do you think that it would have had the sort of like awkward resonance as opposed to just like the judges getting on board with whoever wins the season is whoever wins the season, which is more what they do on So You Think You Can Dance, where they really emphasize it's America's favorite dancer. We are not saying this is the best dancer. It is the favorite dancer so that they can really get behind. It does not matter who wins.
Yeah.
I feel like it's sort of awkward at a certain point, right?
But I also think that like it's one thing to react visibly when someone loses. I think that Tom would be professional about someone winning. And they do this on So You Think You Dance too, where Nigel has said like America got it wrong when someone goes home, but they've never made any comment like that when someone wins or when someone is safe or something. So right. I think it's just like a less personal thing to be outraged that someone lost rather than outraged that someone did well.
Right. So they'll be upset that somebody got third place who shouldn't have gotten third place, but they won't show it if they're upset about someone getting second place.
I think so.
Because also happens at the same time as somebody winning.
I think so.
Right. Because I think it would just be at that point, it's bad form because what's done is done. Right. Whereas like when somebody gets third place, it's like you're like, oh, I can't believe it because it hasn't been announced that somebody's won yet.
Yeah,
right? But the votes are all in and everything. Right. So it's sort of an interesting, there's nothing he can do at that point anyway.
Yeah, but nobody knows yet. But as soon as it's announced and it's done, it's done, you know. So yeah. I think it's just optics, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's a good point. Something to bring up. I mean, I guess I think that he would have been professional. I don't think that would have been very cruel, but I think that either way, I mean, it can't be making David feel great that every time somebody gets kicked off, it's like, oh my God, like, but I mean, they did freak out.
I honestly think that if David had won, he might have tried to give the trophy to somebody else. Like,
I mean, maybe, yeah, because he was shocked.
I feel like he would have tried to be like, no, I abdicate the throne. Like, I abdicate.
Yeah. Well, then we're sort of left hanging there because he does not win. Rashad and Emma, they make it. They get they make it down the pathway to the end, to the mirror ball. And then they are sort of herded onto a glittery golf cart.
Anticlimactic. It was so weird.
So weird. And they're just like pushed onto this golf cart. And then they're like, David, Lindsay, get on the back. And then they get on the back of the cart and they're like pushed outside. And then they are given the ball and then they like cut it because like time's up.
And Rashad is going on their tour.
Yeah, which is fun.
Are any of the other stars going, or is it just going to be a bunch of professional dancers and this one football player?
I mean, thank God he won.
I imagine there are other stars.
Because that would have been so weird if it was just like, here's all the pros and the third place with contestant. You know, like how strange would that have been?
I wonder, I bet that some of the less busy stars go with them.
I feel like Heather Morris.
Like, what's Nancy up to? Like, sure, Nancy can go.
Yeah, she can go.
Mr. T.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine there's people. I'm going to go on the website right now. Let's see. Oh, I see some things.
They should certainly bring Heather, especially after that rain dance.
It just says special guest star Rashad Jennings at this point.
Oh.
Like everyone else is in white and he's wearing like a pink blazer and he's like a special guest star.
Also,
I imagine he won't be there all the time.
Yeah, maybe. Going with the theme of strange set pieces like the golf cart, this Ferris wheel was so funny to me. The Ferris wheel that was there the whole time.
I just
like to imagine that people like bought tickets to the Dancing with the Stars finale and like those were their seats and like the same people had to sit there and go round and round.
And then got kicked off anytime that they had to film like Tom and Aaron are on the Ferris wheel now. Yeah.
They had to go to the merry-go-round where there were like some scantily clad women holding onto the poles.
Let's see how much tickets are for June 16th in Caesar's Palace. How much?
Is that?
Let's just see. I'm just curious to see how much. No, in Jersey.
Oh.
In like Atlantic City.
Nice.
Oh. $59 each for upper row.
For like the last upper row, like the last row?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not spending that much money.
59 is, I don't know. Is 59 a lot for a like seat at the top?
Yeah, that's,
I
feel like it is, no? That's cheap.
Really?
That's like an average for a seat at the top.
Back in the day, I used to go to the So You Think You Can Dance concerts. Same. And had some pretty bad seats.
But this is like the New York City metro area, so anything is expensive here. Anyway,
I watched Great Comet the other week, and
I'm obsessed with that show. It was so good. I saw it last year.
Totally worth it. But it was I had a moment of like, New York, while I was there. And then I kept, because I'm Canadian, I kept every time I heard a price, I'd go, oh, American dollars, too. Amazing.
Home then. Jeez. Anyway, that is another one on the books for us here on Dancing with the Stars podcast.
How do we feel about Rashad as a winner in the larger pantheon of Dancing with the Stars winner?
I think he's a great winner. I think the season, my thoughts are, the season as a whole was kind of a dumpster fire. But Rashad is a winner and Emma is a pro winner. I am thumbs up on. I think Rashad is a great dancer. I think that he had a pretty good journey. And I think that Emma is an amazing pro. And I think that she is very deserving of the title. And I think that she's worked really hard to get here. Is he the best of the best? No. Is he the best of the season? Maybe not. But I do think that he is a solid pick, and I think that he has proven himself to be a pretty decent, mover. And I think that, he represents the brand well. So I'm not mad at it.
Sounds good. Lita, what do you think?
Yeah, he was a winner with a story, which is nice. The story to me was he fell in love with his soulmate, Emma. And it had romance, it had conflict, he overcame all these challenges in his life. He never won anything and he finally won something. It was a lovely arc. I don't think that he's like the most fantastic dancer that we've ever seen win this show. I don't think that that's controversial to say, but I think that he was extremely hardworking. He was really passionate about being there, as you can see from how much he rehearsed and how much time he put in. I'm satisfied. It was not my first choice for a winner for sure, but I'm still happy with it.
You know, also, he was my second choice for a winner. I think he was reasonably like the fifth best dancer of this season, but I think he was a top two personality. And Normani should have won, but when you combine him with Emma, I'm very happy with this win. It's been a long time since we've had a football player win, and that was sort of one of the hallmarks of early Dancing with the Stars, so it's cool to bring that back around. I really fell in love with him this season. I loved watching him with Emma. So happy for her. So glad she's probably going to get promoted to like A-list pro at this point, so she's going to start getting the sort of contestants that you can actually win with, which will help the show going forward, because it just means more Emma, which just means good things for us. So I think great winner, not the perfect winner, but honestly, a Normani win would have been kind of boring. It would have been 3 out of 4 last seasons have been won by Val.
I'm glad that the pro is changing up, and that the mirror ball sort of shifting to another pro is nice. And I think that, you got to spread around the wealth. You got to shift it up every now and then. So
yeah,
that's
both
nice.
Val and Lindsay have been in the finals almost every year for the last couple of years. So like,
yeah.
It's nice to have Emma really sort of get in there and break things up a little bit.
Yeah, and sort of see that genuine excitement for her was refreshing and exciting for us, too. So, yeah. Well, we would love to hear you guys' takes, our listeners. So I'm excited to sort of hear what everyone else has to say about the season. If you haven't already tweeted at us, where can everyone reach out at to find you, Kelly?
Well, did we want to talk at all about questions or no?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we could definitely do that, too.
Good old Mike Bloom did send us a couple patrons.
Yeah, let's hit on some questions.
So My favorite question comes from the great Allie Lasher, who I'm obsessed with, bae. Even though we've never met. Hi, Allie.
Everyone's bae. She's the best.
So she asks, can we keep talking about Bruno stealing the show during Normani's dance? Which I feel that we do need to talk about a little tiny bit more.
Yeah, someone. And
we'll do it for Allie.
It might have been Will Seaman. Someone tweeted last night, can Bruno please be a pro or a contestant next year or next season? I don't know which one he would be, but I'm on board.
I want to see him as a contestant because I want to see him get like whipped into shape by like Lindsay or somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bruno and maybe Whitney would be a really fun pair to watch.
That would be fun too. Or like Fiona or something.
That would be pretty fantastic. And Randy Nupple wants us to do a David Bloomberg style. Why Normani slash David lost and why Rashad won. Can we do that really quickly? Sort of run through why did Normani and David lose other than Normani got the votes or Normani didn't have the votes and David couldn't dance.
I was going to say David needed to work on his dancing. I think that would have helped him out if he was good at it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's probably a combination of a lot of different things that we may not be in the know about. I think that there are, you know, we spoke about it earlier that maybe for Normani, there might have been some sort of flux over the past couple of weeks that maybe have dipped some of her voting, whether that be her injuries or just sort of some sort of focus shift. And I think maybe Rashad winning, maybe just sort of his sort of commitment to the whole thing. I think that him and Emma were super, super, super into it. And I think that not to say that somebody else like Normani wasn't, but you know, you can't stop a force like Rashad and Emma. Like they were just going for it. So, you know, whether that has anything to do with it could be, you know, could not be. And I think that with David, I don't think it has anything other to do than he just isn't the best dancer. And this is Dancing with the Stars.
Fair enough. Tim Weston wants to know, considering David's second place finish and multiple people with dance experience, Simone, mostly Heather, going out early and really being what he calls shafted in the votes, do we think that it's time for the show to stop casting people with so much dance experience and really get back to that idea of people sort of on a more even playing field learning how to dance?
I think that's fair to an extent. I think that they probably shouldn't cast people whose literal job is a professional dancer like Heather. I know that it's not ballroom, that that's not her specialty, so it's not really the same thing, but I think that it's hard to kind of put that on there because there's so many people who were like musicians, like people like Nicole Scherzinger, for example, who like are in a group that has to dance, or even Normani, like that are in girl groups that dance a lot, or like, you know, athletes that have backgrounds in dance, a lot of them do. Like, it's hard to say what the cutoff point for that would be. Like, how much dance experience do you have to before you're disqualified?
Yeah,
agreed. Like backup dancer, maybe not, but right. Like somebody who has performance background, like it's, you know, like ice skater, you know, is that okay? You know, things like that. So yeah. I agree
with that. I don't particularly have any interest in a season full of Davids.
Right.
Like it's just, that's not particularly appealing to me because I do want to see actually really good dancing. I think that the perfect sort of level is someone like a Rashad or ideally like a Ginger Z or even Bindi Irwin, someone who is in a field totally unrelated to dance. Like she's not a performer. She's a zoologist or a meteorologist or whatever, but they are able pretty quickly, whether they danced in their past or whatever, but they're able pretty quickly to learn how to dance in the first week. And from there we can see actual improvement as opposed to like still teaching them how to dance in like week 7. I find that a little tiresome.
Like natural ability is there.
Yeah. Natural like, ability. I think those sort of medium people are really the best. And I think a mixture is interesting because I do think as much as it made people angry, I think it was really interesting to see Heather go out early because then we can really look at, okay, but why did she go out early? And we got to have lots of interesting conversations about her personality and how much she showed it and how much she didn't and how much Max's choreography or lack thereof affected her. and the personality of her partner and all these sort of other things happening in the show and different facets of it. I think it's interesting to have that balance and have different things happening all season, like someone with dance experience going out early versus somebody like David, seeing him go far. If we started to see with great consistency the Davids all winning or the Heathers all winning, then I'd say it's time to switch it up. But at the moment, I'm liking the mixture.
Yeah, I think the thing more to address, like if you're going to get into what type of people should be cast, are like people like David who are coming off of a World Series with a massive fan base. Like everyone was rooting for the Cubs in that series, and it's like still fresh in people's minds. And it's like, at what point does someone have so much public support that it doesn't even matter what they do? Because that's, I think, even less interesting to cast.
Agreed. It's sort of like doing when they do a fan vote in a season of Big Brother that has all stars.
Right.
And you're just like, well, that's not fair. The newbies never had a shot. Alyssa, of course, is going to win MVP every week, that sort of thing. It does it. It makes it harder for things like fan votes to be even. On the other hand, the show obviously wants like the most fan support they can possibly get. So they're just shooting.
Yeah, it's like it's Dancing with the Stars. It's not like Dancing with the people like nobody knows about. So we want people, and, like, you want people
no
that
way to guarantee that they're going to be able to find an even spread of fan support.
Yeah.
It's not possible, but it's a fair point. Cause I do think that really did put him over the top. He came in with so much support that like people were voting who weren't watching the show. They were just figuring out what David's number was and calling in because they're like Cubs fans. So one last question I want to ask. Edward Morris, who's like sort of the question king, asks, these were three pretty good dancers. There were three really good dancers this season, but these were not that necessarily them. Was there a memorable dance this year that people are going to look back as sort of the dance of the season and remember it?
Like,
that's a tough question.
Like, that wasn't from the finalists? Is that
it
the could question?
Be. I think he means from the entire season. My guess is maybe Rashad's memorable, like his dad dance, or maybe Normani's Mulan. Freedom dance.
Mm. Oh, I was going to say Mulan.
Yeah.
Oh, Mulan is the one. Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot about Mulan.
Mulan is the one that I often go into like rabbit holes of just YouTubing So You Think You Can Dance routines, and just any of them that come to mind I just watch, and then watch all the related videos. I think that the one from this season for Dancing with the Stars that I'm gonna Google is the Mulan routine for sure.
Yeah, because that was just so good, and it just like was like so emotional,
and it was
and, like,
different
also,
it had the really sticks that they did cool stuff with.
Yeah that was good.
Yeah, I think you're right. I completely forgot about that. But I think you're absolutely right. So that should be all for questions today. But we're ending on my favorite memory of the show this season, which is definitely Donnie Osmond singing.
I was say Donnie and Disney. Well, thank you all for, you know, listening to us this entire season. It's been such a hoot. And I mean, I feel like it may not have been the most fair or, I guess you can say, like, dance entertaining season of Dancing with the Stars. It definitely was interesting. And I feel like, you know, I definitely got some hot takes from Kelly. And I thank you, Lita, for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Where can people find you on the interwebs, Lita?
You can find me at Lita Tweeted, L-I-T-A Tweeted. This week I will be tweeting pretty much exclusively about the Penguins and my birthday. But other than that, I'm usually
happy birthday.
Entertaining. Thank you. It's on Friday.
Woo.
And it's my favorite day of the whole year. So I'm really annoying about it, clearly. But then after this week, I will be back to regularly scheduled programming. So you should please follow me.
Oh my God. Well, happy early birthday. And where can people find you, Kelly?
Congratulations. You're having a big month because you also just graduated.
I did.
Yeah. Lita's like growing up so fast right in front of us.
So you can find me on the internet, all of my work on my website where we do TV reviews as well as like tons of other stuff is myentertainmentworld.ca, and the Twitter that accompanies that is run by me, so that's where you get all of my random reality TV thoughts is at myentworld, my E-N-T world.
Yeah, so everyone tweet at us. Definitely let us know your thoughts on the season as a whole. We're excited to, you know, continue to talk about it even after, you know, the ending of it all. You can find me at Ange Palagi. That's A-N-G-P-A-L-A-G-G-I. We will definitely, you know, hopefully be back for next season, but stay tuned for more information on that. You know, until we speak next time, thanks again for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.